Today's exit interview is sponsored by Loot Crate. Be the envy of all your friends when you get 100% exclusive crates at lootcrate.com with $3 off with the promo code RHAP. Don't worry about any of the loot being soggy when you get a Loot Crate delivered to your house. Save $3 on any new subscription with the promo code RHAP. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesarino back here with our exit interview. Today, we're going to be talking with Tails. Taylor Stocker is going to be joining us to talk about everything from a wild episode of Survivor and probably much more as we get into our exit interview with Taylor coming up here in just a little bit. Then Jordan Kalish is going to join us to do the This Week in Survivor History quiz. If you missed it last night, I talked with Sophie, had a very worked up Sophie last night and talked about everything from the episode number 9. Today, we've got a fun day of podcasting as well, as I'm going to be joined by Spencer Bledsoe, the young lad. We'll talk to me about this season on our recap podcast, and then we're going to get into your voicemails with Megan Z. Get your questions into the podcast, robiswebsite.com/voicemail later on for that show. So looking forward to that, but we have first to get to Taylor Stocker, who's here with us on the line. Tails, are you there?
All right.
How's it going, buddy?
Hey. Pretty good.
What a ride this season, right?
I know, man. It's been crazy.
Yes. Which is crazier, snowboarding or Survivor?
Is that a question? Oh, man. Survivor is the craziest thing I've ever done.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about the season and the episode from last night. Did you know that you were going to be the one going home at that tribal council last night? And is that why things started to unfold the way they did?
Yeah. You know, I knew it was either going to be Jay or myself. And so when the votes were being casted, then I knew I was going home unless something crazy happened, like idle play.
Yeah,
but didn't think Jay was going to do that. So, But definitely knew going into it that it was Jay or myself. And, you know, that's why we stuffed our faces full food. And, we kind of came up with the plan to huck Adam under the bus, hoping to sway the vote a little bit. We decided it would probably work best, if anything, if we dropped the bomb at tribal instead of before. And so, we went with that route.
How much did you guys script what you were going to say? Because it did seem like that the story became more and more embellished to the point where not only did he know about it, but he also helped bury it and he was eating all the food. Did you guys work a lot of that stuff out?
You know, not really. We kind of winged it. Like, I went in and I just said, I'm going to huck him under the bus. And, you know, if I say something, if I make an allegation, like an allegation that he has a advantage and he agrees to that, then I can pretty much make up anything else and people are going to believe it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could huck crazy stuff out there. Like, he also showed me an idol and he also has this and the advantage lets him do this and start making up lies about it. They aren't going to know the difference. And Adam Shearn is not going to show them what it says. So, I think we just went in with the game plan to huck him under the bus as much as we could.
Did you feel bad at all about throwing Adam under the bus in that way after he tried to reach back out to you to try and work with you after the merge?
No. No, man. Survivor is a game where you got to be totally ruthless to win. And that's how I went and planned. And, afterwards, you know, we made peace. So, you know, we're cool now, but in the game, it's war. So, right when I got back to Ponderosa, I put all the game behind me and, that's the end of it.
Did you feel like that maybe if you would have worked with Adam when he came to you to try to mend fences that you might have been able to stay in the game longer?
Yeah, you know, when you're sitting in Ponderosa, you don't have much to do. And you play this game that's a never-ending cycle where your mind just goes in this circle and you're just wondering, well, what if I had done this? And that means this person would have been next and then I would have gone to this next level. And never ends, right?
Yeah.
And So, you know, I did that a little bit, but you get to a point where it's like, you know what? It's not the reality. I wish I would have done this, but I didn't. And so you just, at some point, you have to accept that.
Going back to the food and everything with Jay, how much food was left at the point where you guys went to tribal council, or was it all gone by that point?
There's like a full mason jar.
Okay. And you just willed that to Jay and said, like, hey, whoever comes back, this is just for your inheritance, son.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I passed that back and said, you do whatever you want with it.
Now, in the episode last night, you ended up going on the reward with the Gen Xers. Was there any sort of talk with them in trying to work together, or were you just totally out on them, or were they out on you?
Oh, man. There was not a crack with that group. You know, I talked to the few people there, but was actually really bummed because typically out of reward, you know, there might be an advantage or there's some really good time to strategize, and there was really none. And so that was disappointing, and I really wanted to work with Chris, but he was just non-willing to negotiate. So, that sucked. And it was great to have a reward, but the better part of that reward is like, ooh, now I can strategize with these people, and there was nothing.
Now, how much of that do you feel like was because of the whole bringing up that the food was stolen from last week when, you know, Brett and David and Ken were talking about that at tribal council? Were they just totally mad at you from stealing the food?
No, I mean, most of those guys thought it was hilarious. But it was mainly that they were thinking about their game and they already had their numbers secured and they didn't need to align with me. But, you know, I was trying to sway Chris at the merge and just going, dude, you're a big guy. You're going to be a physical threat in this. You're a smart guy. You are going to get attacked, right? Like merge time. And so, you know, and obviously I was the casualty of that, but, you know, just talking to him, Jay, Ken, just going, you guys, we have to stick together because if we don't, we're going to get picked off.
Can you go back to last week's vote where Michelle ultimately ended up going home? You guys voted for Adam, but there were only 4 votes for Adam. Were you expecting more people to also vote against Adam at that tribal council?
Yeah, you know, because Jay had a lot more connections than I did just because his tribe was bigger and hoping that they would jump on board if it wasn't their name. And to my knowledge, Adam wouldn't have affected the majority of them besides really Zeke and Hannah. Hoping that there would be a lot more there.
But you didn't know exactly who was supposed to be voting with you guys at that vote.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. It also seemed like that you signaled to Adam at that tribal council that he was probably going to be the one going home. Did you have any idea that he had the hidden immunity idol?
You know, I had a really good idea. And last night had a extremely good idea and I'm really surprised he, didn't play it, but he must've felt really secure.
Yeah. Why did you feel like that he had the hidden immunity idol more at that tribal council?
You know, he's too calm and collected in certain, situations. And, you know, after being with those people for a long time, you start to pick up on these subliminal, character, kind of a flaws, if you will, in the game. Mm-hmm. But just kind of hints that this person's way too comfortable. And if I was in that situation, I would not be that comfortable. So there's a reason for that. And you know, you start to dig and dig. But I definitely could tell that he was a bit comfortable in a few of those circumstances.
Okay. So you also were with Adam after the swap when he ended up flipping against you and Figgy. Did you have any idea that he was going to flip on that vote?
Really good idea. I remember, Fig had said something to me like, what do you think the chances are of me going home? And I'd said, Mike, 75?
Yeah.
It could have been me, but, you know, it was just too quiet around camp. And I really didn't think it was going to be me. And so I would have, in that situation, I would have been extremely surprised.
Why not you? When I talked to Figgy, she said that she felt like that she was more of the strategist of the two of you. Was that why they went after Figgy instead of you?
Yep. And you know, I had said to her multiple times, that I'm a person that if someone's around me and I know that they're going to do all of the work and they're going to stick their neck out and, I don't have to do anything, I'm just like hidden behind the curtain, then they're going to be the person on the chopping block. And so, you know, like she compared me to Amber or something like that. But also, like, the majority of people forget that, it took her like half the time that it took Rob to get his money. So, you know, I think that's interesting. Saying she's a bad strategist, but just that I intentionally didn't do that work, which, yeah, she did the work and she was the casualty of our alliance.
Okay. Tails, let's talk. We got to talk Figgy. We got to talk man to man.
Let's get this over with.
Let's talk about this. Okay. Yeah. So much of this story of this season was about the relationship. And, you know, I watched all these Ponderosa videos and Day After videos where you're talking about you guys are so much in love and all these things are going to happen. Ultimately, we know that this story did not have a happy ending. So could you talk a little bit about what ultimately went wrong here? Why there's no sailboat?
Yeah. You know, Well, I mean, that's still my game plan. Just probably be put on hold till after December. when we got back, then there's a lot of, this family, personal things that went on. And, I thought that for my family, it would be best if, I broke things off with her. And, she was obviously really hurt about that. And, you know, if I could change things how I did in the game, knowing that this would be the outcome, then would totally do that. But yeah, she was definitely hurt by that decision to end things, and I think that is a result of other interviews are a result of that.
Yeah. My big question that I just have is about the timeline of all of this. If you could shed some light on that, because it seemed like the wound seemed very fresh for Figgy at the time that we talked to her. Had you guys already been split up for a while at the time that she got voted out on the show? Or was that something that had just happened around the time that she got voted out?
Yeah. I'm having a hard time remembering that, the exact dates. I, kind of space out on that, but, yeah, I believe it was probably a few weeks before she went home. It was definitely before July. So yeah, before the show even started, then we were already broken up.
Okay. Cause she's talked about, you know, dodging a bullet and stuff like that. So it just seemed like that it was all, like everything was happening all very much, around the time that she was being voted out of the show on TV.
Yeah. You know, I think that was just, due to, her being so upset about, how things ended. And,
Taylor, could you blame her? Come on.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And, I totally understand that. I don't think it's very, very mature to go on and, you know, bash me about the allegations that, you know, are her opinion of me, but, you know, she's entitled to her opinion and, she can have that if she wants to.
All right, Taylor. Now I have two young boys here at home. Do you need any advice on bringing up, a little snowboarder?
Yeah, please. I'll take all the advice I can get.
Okay, anytime. Yep. All right. Taylor, anything else? I have a lot of questions about how you even ended up getting onto Survivor. I mean, had you seen a lot of the show before you ultimately played?
Yeah, definitely. I grew up watching the show and really identified with a lot of the players from a young age. And then specifically one. The season came on that was the callers.
Yes.
And it was Joe's first season. And I identified with all of the no callers and really had a desire to apply to the show. And if I didn't get on, then I would just check it off my list. But it was the craziest thing I could possibly think of to put myself through. And so I've always kind of had a desire to push myself to those extremes. And the closest other thing I could think I could try to do would be like trying to compete in an Ironman or something, but wow. You know, that's only physical.
Yeah.
All
right, Taylor. Well, I know you got to run. Well, best of luck on everything in the future. And, looking forward to, hearing news on the baby and all the best, buddy.
Cool, man. Thank you so
all
much.
Right, take care. Bye.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Taylor Stocker here on The Exit Interview. Just a chill bro talking about what's going on Survivor and in life and what a complicated soap opera. And who knew Taylor was so up on the history of Boston Rob and Amber and how they got to where they got in Survivor history. All right, so speaking of Survivor history, let's bring in another guy who is a very sicky nar-nar. Here is the host of This Week in Survivor History, The Quiz, the great Jordan Kalish. Jordan.
Who's laughing now?
Yeah. So, Jordan, my winning streak continues 7 weeks in a row.
It does. You're like you're almost like Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I'm on fire, like Dak. Yeah, that's me. As we are going along here and ready to talk about another week in Survivor history here with Jordan. And how's everything going this week for you, Jordan?
Everything's great. I watched the episode with a bunch of patrons last night, which is a really great time. The Pizza and Beer Alliance. So finally was able to make it out to one of their viewings, and it was, it was an interesting outcome in the episode, and I'm really looking to see what happens going forward.
Was everybody going nuts during Tribal Council?
Oh, yeah, really great tribal. Everyone was having a good time laughing it up with Taylor and Adam going on about the buried food.
Okay, so lots of stuff to talk about in our quiz. And before we get into that, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor, LootCrate.com. You know, the only thing better than a buried jar of different dried fruits and pretzels might be a crate of stuff that comes to your house filled with all sorts of pop culture and genre goodies, Jordan.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's better?
That might be the only thing that's
okay,
better.
I buy it.
Because Loot Crate sends you customized gear, housewares, collectibles, you name it. Loot Crate has it. That they've got a great deal going on right now. You could save $3 off your exclusive Loot Crate subscription with the promo code RHAP. November has an enchanting theme. It's magical, Jordan. Ooh. Almost as magical as a boat ride with Taylor.
That does sound magical. And so what is this magical deal?
Yeah, listen to this. Loot Crate has cast a powerful ancient spell to deliver you November's crate featuring bewitching items from Doctor Strange, Fantastic Beasts, and Where to Find Them, Big Trouble in Little China, and so much more. Don't wait. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. to subscribe to November's crate. When it's over, it's over. No more Loot Crates. Go to lootcrate.com/RJP. Enter the promo code RJP to save $3 off any new subscription today. I got some cool stuff from Loot Crate. I got a Negan t-shirt and some Freddy Krueger chopsticks and some other fun stuff. So if you're into the comic book and the genre stuff, definitely check out the Loot Crate promo code RHAP. All right, Jordan, let's get into talking about this very week in Survivor history. Where do you want to go first?
All right, we're going to go all the way back to Survivor Africa. This is the episode from November 15th, 2001, and it's actually 15 years ago this past Tuesday.
Okay, got it.
So ready for question number one?
Ready.
And just to remind you of the rules, you can use a point doubler before I read any question, and you can use a 50-50 at any time. You have 6 multiple choice questions coming to you.
Okay.
All right, so would you like to use the point doubler?
All right, I would not.
All right, so question number one. 14 years before the creation of the This Week in Survivor History quiz, the contestants of Survivor Africa took part in a quiz reward challenge based on their knowledge of Africa. What did the Boron and Samburu tribes do after getting a question right to indicate that they were closer to winning the challenge? A. Did they move one step down on a set of bleachers? B. Did they smash an African mask made of the other tribe's color? C, did they raise their flag one notch up a flagpole? Or D, did they move one space forward on a platform toward the immunity idol?
Oh, boy. Let me use the 50-50 here.
All right. So the 50-50, your choices now are A, they moved one step down on a set of bleachers, or C, they raised their flag up one notch on a flagpole.
The thing about the bleachers is standing out to me. I don't remember this specifically, but I'm going to go with A, the bleachers.
You are correct. Very good use of the 50-50. It was the set of bleachers. They stood at the top. All the members of the tribes stood at the top of the bleachers to start the challenge. And each time they got a question right, they got to move down.
We have made progress in Survivor history as we have moved away from reward and immunity challenges in the pre-merge of teams doing quizzes.
Yeah, it really made no sense. It was a very odd challenge. If you're gonna do a quiz, first of all, make it about the contestants, not about the location where they are. And having a team question where they're all huddling up between each answer and just reading questions. It was kind of boring to watch, but that's what they did.
Boring to watch, more like.
Not Sam Buru.
Yeah, these challenges from the old school Survivor, I mean, there's some sort of iconic classic ones, but there are some duds also.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't want to take away anything from the challenges back in the day. They're really, as you said before, there really were some great ones. This isn't necessarily one of them. But
no.
But it is a quiz-related reward, which is why I wanted to put it in this quiz.
Yeah, there's also a really lame pre-merge quiz in Australia, too.
Was that also about the land of Australia?
Yeah, it's always like about the land. Yeah. Stop it. Okay. All right, let's keep going. I'm on
All
fire.
Right, number two. On the Boran tribe, Clarence led the charge to eat one of the chickens. Why didn't they eat a chicken in this episode? A, they had made friends with the chickens. B, one of the chickens had laid an egg. C, they thought Sia would give them money if they spared the chickens' lives. D, none of the above, Boran ate a chicken.
Oh my God, look at a chicken.
The chicken laid an egg. That was the deal they made for Clarence. If it was going to lay an egg, then he wouldn't eat it. And he said, no way, it didn't lay an egg. And he was besides himself when he found an egg the next day.
Rob, they did make that deal, but this was a trick question. You are incorrect because
what?
They actually did eat the chicken. They ate the chicken in the episode.
Oh, come on.
It was a trick question, Rob. When I, going into this episode, I had it in my head, oh, this was the egg episode. This is when the chicken laid the egg and they decided not to eat it. But Ethan has a confessional, but he was like, oh, we're just going to eat it anyway. And Boran did.
They like messed with him.
Yeah, Boran actually did eat the chicken. So that was a trick question. You are 1-for-2. You have 1 point and you need 3 more points to win the game.
I don't like these trick questions.
Hey, well, that's what makes it a tough question. I would have gotten this one wrong, too, if you had asked me this before watching the episode.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a bunch of malarkey to me.
Yeah.
Are you saying it's rigged?
Yeah, that's what we're saying. No, it's not rigged, but it's, you know, look, the iconic moment is Clarence going nuts.
It is that's, and that's what makes it a tough question. All right, number three, right. You could redeem yourself here. How did Kelly, Big Tom, and Lex know that Lindsay had passed votes cast against her and therefore chose to vote against her at Tribal? And this is, of course, based on the old tiebreaker rules where whoever had more passed votes would go home in the Tribal Council. So A, did Brandon throw her under the bus and told them? B, they assumed the older members of the original Samburus would have found her annoying and voted for her at least once. C, Kim Johnson signaled to her old trimates at the challenge by making an L shape with her hand. D, Crystal Cox somehow found out and yelled it to them from the United States.
Boy, you should have more joke answers.
More joke answers. That makes the question. It makes it a 1-in-3. Wait, which one's the joke answer?
I would say that for some reason I believe that Kim Johnson ended up signaling it to them. I will say choice C.
You are correct, Rob. You are 2-for-3. You have 2 points. Very nice job. She made an L shape signifying that they should vote for Lindsay. And originally, it was funny. Kelly thought that she was calling them losers.
Loser.
You're a loser. Like Lisa Lampanelli.
I don't think we're allowed to talk about that
on that other show we used to watch. All right, yes. Now question number four. After the deadlocked vote, and this was the episode.
By the way, Jordan Kalish, do you realize that you and I once did a podcast about the time that Dennis Rodman spelt the first lady's name wrong?
Yes, I do remember that. We also did a podcast about Good Sam and all those fun times on on yes. that. There was some show where there was a boardroom. I don't remember what happened after that. What happened to the host of that show? Yeah.
So let's keep going. Right.
Question number four. So this, as I was saying before, it's the episode where Lindsay goes home. It's a tie vote with her and Big Tom, but she had passed votes against her. So after the deadlocked vote, it was revealed that Big Tom had not been voted against to that point. How many passed votes had been cast against Lindsay sending her home? Was it A, 1, B, 2, C, 3, D, 4?
How many passed votes had been cast against her? Well, I believe that the whole, you know, Boomer crew voted against her when it was a tie against Dr. Carl. And so I have to say that she had 4 votes cast against her of that, you know, unless it's a trick question, but I don't think it is. I'll say 4.
This is not a trick question. You are correct. You have 3 points. Very good job. Yes. The 4 old Sembrewer Alliance all voted against her. And actually, so tie vote, since that was a tie vote with Dr. Carl, the 3 votes from the tiebreaker don't count in this count. So it was, yes, so it was 4 votes. That wouldn't have been fair.
Yes.
But now we're out of Africa now, and we are going to go to our listener submitted round. So I have 2 questions, each from a different listener of the podcast. And Rob, you haven't used your point doubler yet. You have used your 50-50. You have 3 points. You just need to get one of these questions right to win the game. So this is a question from Will Seaman. Would you like to use your point doubler?
For Will from America, I'm trying to think, is there any strategic benefit to use it? Doesn't matter. I just need to get one of the questions right. It doesn't matter if I use it. Is there anything else that you could tell me about these 2 questions other than who it's from?
I can tell you that they both actually combine multiple seasons.
Who's the other question?
The other question is from Nick Fishman.
Okay. Boy, I feel like that the Will question is going to be trickier. I'll save my point doubler for the Nick Fishman question.
So this is like the evolution of the Twitch quiz game.
Because I don't know what kind of question Will's going to throw at me. He makes Sporkle quizzes, so I think it's going to be a tough question.
All right, so I want you to name every Survivor contestant in the next 15 minutes. No, just kidding. Question number 5. And you said you are using your...
You're waiting for the Nick question.
So yes. Which one of the following people voted out in This Week in Survivor History was eliminated by a unanimous vote? Was it A, Chad from Vanuatu, B, Jamie from Guatemala, C, Jenny Guzan, I Love You Bay from Cook Islands, or D, Frosty from Survivor China?
Glad I saved that point up, Larry. I wish I had the 50-50 right now. So let's see.
Let's talk it out. The first Chad. Is Chad from Vanuatu.
Chad from Vanuatu, you know, I don't remember what order he ultimately went out, if he went out pre-Sarge or I know Sarge, Chris, and Chad were all there. I don't remember which order they went out. I feel like that, I got to think. Jenny Guzman, I Love You, Bay. I don't think she went out unanimously. I'll take her out of the mix. And who are the other 2 people? Frosty?
Jamie and Frosty.
I feel like Judd didn't know about the Jamie vote, and I think that he was pissed about that. And then I feel like that Courtney wouldn't vote against Frost. So
it's none of them.
So which person did or which person didn't?
Which person was voted out unanimously?
I'll say it was Chad.
Unfortunately, Rob, it was not Chad. He had his brochacho Chris vote with him. The correct answer was Frosty.
Love You,
yeah,
Bay.
That was Frosty. Yeah. In the I Love You, Bay vote, Penner actually got 2 votes. In the you were correct about Jamie, where Judd did vote for Gary. But Frosty, yes, yeah. Frosty was voted out unanimously.
Oh, my God. So much pressure now.
Yeah, you have to get this question right. This could be...
I have to get it right.
This could be the stumper that ends your streak. And, Rob, this is the Nick Fishman question. You might as well use your point doubler here.
Yeah.
Either way, you win the game.
Okay.
If you get it right. All right, so this is the Nick Fishman question. You are using your point doubler here. If you get it right, you win the game. If you get it wrong, it'll be your first losing week since week 1.
Okay.
On This Week in Survivor History... In both San Juan del Sur and Survivor Second Chances, What did Keith Nail do in both of these episodes? And now, just to give you some context, this is the episode where Jeremy Collins went home, and that's in San Juan del Sur, and the episode where Kelly Wigglesworth went home in Survivor Second Chances. Did he A, win individual immunity? B, did he vote for the person who did not end up getting voted out? C, did he vote for the person who did get voted out? Or D, did he shave his mustache?
Okay, well, okay, he didn't shave his mustache. So for me, I feel like that he almost never votes for the right person. So that's definitely on the table for me. So vote for the wrong person. I'm pretty sure he did not. The Jeremy vote is a little bit muddy in my head. But in terms of the vote with Kelly, I don't think he voted for, like, it was Steven and Spencer and Jeremy, and then the witches voted together on that. And I got to feel like that he was on the out. So, like, I don't think that Jeremy and Keith are ever working together. So I feel very strongly about him voting for the wrong person. My question is, did he vote for Jeremy in the San Juan del Sur? And that's the big question. I believe that happens, what, at Final 10? I know Missy, Baylor, John, Jacqueline, I think Reed was also in the mix at that point, voting against them. Natalie and Jeremy are voting one way. And I think that Jeremy thought they were voting out Keith, maybe. I feel like there's somebody there that I can't place also. Oh, and Alec Christie. I feel like maybe he was, not sure what he was doing in that spot. I could spend probably 5 more minutes thinking about this, but in terms of winning the immunity, I wonder, is this also when Reed wanted the split? Maybe, maybe not. I will say that he just voted for the wrong person.
Rob, you are correct, and you have won the game. Congratulations. So when Jeremy went home, he did vote for Reed. This isn't the episode where Reed did the split. This is the episode where Baylor won the foot challenge. And you were correct about Jeremy thinking that Jeremy actually did vote for Keith here. Jeremy and Natalie both voted for Keith. However, it was Missy, Baylor, John, and Jacqueline turned on Jeremy. And this is the whole what the F Missy episode. So he did. He voted for Reed when Jeremy actually went home, and then he did vote for Wigglesworth. He wasn't part of Steven and Spencer's plot with the witches to get Wigglesworth out of the game. So you have won the game. Very well reasoned. You got a lot of those facts that you remembered correct. He didn't shave his mustache, so that was wrong, and he didn't win individual immunity in either of those episodes.
Rock on.
Yeah.
How about that? Congratulations.
8 weeks in a row.
You're 8-1. You are Dak Prescott. You're the rookie phenom, Rob.
So, all right. Heading into Thanksgiving week. So we've got 2 hours of Survivor coming up. The way that that's going to work is that we are going to be doing our exit interviews on the Monday following Thanksgiving. I believe they call that Cyber Monday, Jordan.
Cyber Monday. Is that where you get all the good deals online?
Yeah, lots of great deals on the Amazon.com. We always appreciate you guys using our link. But yeah, so that is when we're going to have our 2 exit interviews. So don't look for them on Thursday or Friday following the Survivor episode. We'll have the interviews with the next 2 people voted out. That's going to be up on Monday. And that's when Jordan and I will play the next round of this week in the Survivor History Quiz. And then we'll actually do it twice in that same week, because then we'll do it again for Thursday.
Is that allowed? Is that legal?
Yeah, that's legal.
Is it mandatory?
Legal. So, yeah, it's mandatory. So look for the next exit interview podcast on November 28th. That's going to be a week from Monday. And then we'll be back again on December 1st. So you'll hear 3 exit interviews in 4 days here on the podcast. And two rounds. That could be 10-1 by, a week from Thanksgiving.
Maybe, but don't get overconfident. And I'm not going to talk to you, I guess, until after Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to you, and happy Thanksgiving to all the listeners.
All right. Take care. Bye, Jordan. All right, everybody. There you have it. This week in Survivor History, the quiz. We really got, dodged a bullet there, much like Figgy once said. And really, that was close. So we got through that unscathed and move on to our double elimination week coming up
next week on the show. So that's going to do it for us here on The Exit Interview. We've got Spencer podcasts coming up and then, of course, your voicemail. So make sure to get those in and plenty of BBOTT coverage all on robhasawebsite.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Have a good one, everybody. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.